been waiting to say that. Well, there were a few here last Sunday, Jeff and Kim and I, but it's nicer to have more folks here. And quite frankly, I'm really encouraged that we have as many as we do, and I even see some more people coming in yet. So, you know, God's grace is still prevailing, and I'm thankful for that. Thankful for our time that we had in prayer. I again would beg you to intercede before the Lord every opportunity you can. Through I know I do throughout the day and night. But continue to pray for all those that are struggling and that are having difficulties at this time. But we're here to praise God, number one, and hear the teaching of the Word and be encouraged. So let's sing today. If you're able to stand, it's either in your hymnal, number 49, or it's on the screen. And I'll have a few instructions later during announcement time. Hopefully you can see the screen. We did get a new laptop, but now our screen doesn't have the capabilities as it needs to show. But we'll work on that too. We have quite a few things to work on. Let's bless the name of the Lord this morning. Let's sing together. All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for us to die, that He might grant redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Prayer. Our loving Father in heaven, indeed may your name be lifted high this day, for you are worthy of our praise and of our praise alone, O Lord. Help us not, Lord, to want to magnify ourselves or the works of man, but let us with a sound and loving heart and a heart of sincerity want to bring you praise and glory this day. Thank you, Lord, for the gathering. We thank you that we were able to open our doors again today. And now we pray, Lord, for healing here at Fruitland Baptist Church, not only in the physical sense, but also, Lord, in the spiritual sense. And Lord, may we come to your fount today, your fount of blessings and your fount of healing and grace and mercy. Lord, we just love you today, and we ask again that you'd be in our midst. And Lord, that you would work a work in the lives of people this day and in the days to come. Now we thank you for your life-changing, all-powerful gospel message that you not only died for sinners, but rose again. And we preach, Lord, that you were crucified, but you were not left on that cross. You were buried, and the third day you rose, and you've shown who you are, and you've guaranteed for us and set the pattern, the prototype for a new life and for eternal life. And we thank you today, Lord. I pray everyone in this room has been redeemed by your blood, that we're excited about our new life today. But Lord, if there be one that is not, this is the primary reason you came for man, was to save us. And so, Lord, thank you for that very thing. Now, Lord, we continue to pray for those that are recovering here at Fruitland. And, Lord, for our community and those that we reach out to, thank you. Now, there was a good number today, Lord, that have come. And we want to exercise good sense, but, Lord, we also need to show that we are not afraid, Lord, to come publicly and to show worship and honor towards your name. So now, Lord, I pray this service would be found pleasing in your sight, and that it would be a benefit today for all that hear the preaching of the word and the opportunity to praise you in song. And we ask these things now in the greatest name ever, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. As you've already noticed this morning, our service is somewhat condensed, and we will try to use our time very efficiently. Just a few announcements, and there are bulletins there. If you've seen those in the back, you might want to take one along. It does have the new calendar for the month to come. But there is no evening service tonight. But I want to reiterate once again that our normal routine meetings will begin on Wednesday evening with prayer meeting. And as best as we can, we'll continue to go with our regular services for those that are able to attend. So, obviously, men's retreat has been canceled. Men's Bible study is canceled for the balance of the month. Our fellowship is canceled for this month and may be for a while, the end of the month. There is a ladies' retreat on November 6th at Walnut Park. I'm not sure if it's at the church or out at the camp, but I haven't heard anything different yet about that either. I don't think they've been hit with this like we have. And Deb has in here, if you're not feeling well, stay at home. And remember, we do have some people yet on the critical list of our number that have been struggling. And also, I'm going to announce today as well, Deb Wheeler's brother was taken home to be with the Lord. He died from the COVID virus here this last week. So be in prayer for that family. A few things that aren't in the bulletin. I introduced two copies of two different books back in the winter. Haven't seen or heard much about those. Live Not by Lies and a book by Erwin Lutzer. So if someone has those and you're done, pass them around. I mean, after you disinfect them, of course. But let's try to get those back into circulation. And if not, if we're done, then I'd take them back. But they're both a good read and would have been a good read during COVID for someone or more people. And again, welcome to one and all. Glad for everyone that's here today. Also, the downstairs and the rest of the building is closed, so only the auditorium and the restroom here in the front of the building, or well, the rear, technically, foyer, is open. Everything will be disinfected after this service and after our services. If you use or have used a hymnal today, just leave them flat on the... Actually, it'd be good to open them up face down, and then they can be sanitized the best we can as well. But remember that. And also, there's some important things that need done. We need to have a Sunday school and youth group meeting and also a business meeting when we're able. But obviously, with most of our numbers either making a choice not to be able to come or that have been ill, we'll have to defer those and get along the best we can. But next week, we'll have Sunday school. Now, what else needs to be announced this morning? Anything that I maybe have neglected? Anyway, this is a time when we need to regather. Thankfully, we have devices we can communicate with. And those are a real blessing in the day that we live, to be able to still have communication with each other. Well, if there's nothing further on that, then we're going to have a time of prayer here. And, of course, our offering, we haven't passed plates for a year and a half now, and they're still in the back as the Lord leads you. But we're going to take a few moments here now to thank God for the opportunity to give back to him. Jeff.
Mike, mention your pastor's thought, just in case they...
Oh, yeah.
It's up there. It's hard to see.
Pastor slot for the week. This is something I've shared before, but if you were ever a wrestler and put on your back, you don't see the light till you look up. But this essentially says the same thing. When you're on your back flat, the only place to look is up unless you close your eyes. And I'm referring to the Lord. So he's the place to go. Well, with that in mind, then, we're going to thank the Lord and then ask him again to bless our time in the Word today. And so at this time, let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we approach your throne on the merits of your Son, Jesus Christ, who made that pathway of communication. He, through his death and the workings that he did in his resurrection, we know that that veil was rent as he died for the sins of the world, and he was the perfect lamb, sacrificial lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He opened up the gates that day, Lord. We no longer have to go through a man that's designated with the office of priest that's a go-between, but we've all been declared priests, and we have direct access now. When that veil was rent in the tabernacle, in the temple, we now can go to you directly because you have called us, those that are saved, to be a kingdom of priests. So we thank you, Lord. We don't take that as a thing to brag about, but we thank you, Lord, for it being a gift that we have access to your throne 24/7. And we thank you today as well, Lord, for the intercession of the Holy Spirit and for our attorney, Jesus, pleading our case before your throne. Lord, we realize today there are still many of our number that are critically ill, and Lord, others that are afraid today to come out or being cautious. Maybe afraid's not the right word. But Lord, we know that we have a period of time here where we need your help especially greatly, Lord. And we think about several that are critically ill. We think about Kathy Siwasik today, who's gone through extreme battles. Lord, for Denny Wheeler and for Kay Terhune, others, Lord, that are struggling, and there's more. But I ask, Lord, again today, your healing hand might be upon them. Now, Lord, we also understand that it's through your goodness that we are given all things. And I started out our prayer time this morning with Romans 8:28. And we take that to heart today, Lord. We know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You've given us the ability, Lord, to have employment and incomes, and we thank you that you have abundantly supplied our needs through your riches in Christ Jesus. And so now, Lord, as we have an opportunity to give back to you, I pray you'd bless both the gift and the giver, and also, Lord, that as we take a few moments here of introspection, you would open our hearts to the message today, to the examination of our lives, and to the fullness and openness of your throne for us this day. And now I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, and thank you, Patsy. Appreciate that very much. Well, this morning, if you have your Bible or your device, as I mentioned, we have a fairly streamlined service and probably will here for the near future. I'd ask you to get your Bibles ready this morning. We're going to use them a little bit, and as soon as I get everything back up here on the stand, our message this morning, I've been led to preach on some basics, and there's quite a few things that are in the hopper, so to speak, that I have been led to preach on. But again, I'm always not taking suggestions necessarily right now, but if there's a subject that you would like to have me preach on, I'm always glad to do that. But as of now, I'm allowing the Spirit just to kind of lead me and go back to some of the basics in our walk with the Lord today. So that, in fact, is the title of our message, The Basics of Our Salvation. And with that, I say welcome to one and all. And I'm amazed that we've had as good of a turnout as we have this morning. I pray that you'll be blessed today in the preaching of the Word and in the fellowship that we have together today. So before we go any further, we're going to pray once again. And this time is chiefly to help this guy deliver this message, but also that the Holy Spirit would implant and impart this message to all of us today. And as you know from last Sunday, if you listen to the messages, by the way, these are on fruitland.church. You can go to messages or sermons. There's other information on there as well on the website. You can play these messages. But as I always say, these are first preached to me as I prepare them. So with that said, let's go to prayer and then we'll begin. Father, I just come to you today, Lord, realizing and understanding our insufficiencies, but your great sufficiency. And I thank you today for your word and for your love letter, the Bible, that you have given to us, Lord. It's a divine book, has divine authorship, and Lord, it speaks to every situation of humanity. And it speaks to our neediness, as I said, of you, but your sufficiency that you have to fulfill those needs. And so today, Lord, as we speak on the topic, or as I speak, I guess, but we, the Holy Spirit within me as well, speak on the topic of salvation, a basic doctrine. I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts, especially to one that may not know you as Lord and Savior today. And Lord, that this message would clarify many things and make it crystal clear what your word has to say. Now, Lord, as always, I'm the weak part in this, but I pray you'll anoint my lips today with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that this message might accomplish its purpose, and as you say, it will not return to you void. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, the Bible has so many topics, right? And has depth of instruction that it is impossible to adequately cover it in its entirety. I don't, as I've said this many times, you couldn't preach it in a lifetime. But let me tell you this, folks, we have a great challenge before us in the Word of God for growth. I don't know where everyone is here this morning. I have come through a growth spurt during this period of COVID. And some of you may say, well, why would that be, Pastor? Because this is a time God's gotten a hold of my heart about some of these very issues in my own life. And I've said, you know what, I realize I need to make changes and I need to be on a trajectory of spiritual growth in my own walk. And I don't know how that's affected you during this time as well, but a lot of times when I'm denied some of the things I'm used to, I begin to find ways to compensate for that, and in this case, I believe this has been a growth time for me. Anyway, it's hard to understand how to be able to cover everything that we should, but we know this, that there are central and core things in God's Word. All of it is important, but the central theme of Scripture revolves, The central themes of Scripture revolve through and around God as the creator of all, the sustainer of all, the lover of people, and the redeemer offered to all fallen people because of their sin. And that is known as deliverance or salvation. A lot of people have had trouble with those Christianese terms of saved, even though the Bible uses that, but the word saved just means delivered. It's God's way and his purpose that he has given through Jesus Christ to deliver us from not only the presence of our sin in heaven one day, but today he's delivering us from the power of sin. And what he has done on Calvary's cross in the past is he delivered us from the penalty of sin. So there's three P's that you can always remember that by, that Christ did for our sake. And that's what salvation, being saved or being delivered, is. And not only that, he saved us again from and delivered us from eternal death in hell, but he also is the preserver of our souls for all eternity in his presence and perfection. And that's heaven and the new heavens and new earth, and even the transitory time between heaven and when Christ is here on the throne during the kingdom, during the millennial period. I'll tell you what, folks, we have no reason to get negative about anything. We need to be fired up about what's on the agenda for the future. Now, that's not to say that there may be some very concerning happenings that take place even yet in the church age, but we know for sure that in the tribulation period, which I believe, again, biblically, is the regathering of Israel, that's the main purpose of that time. We won't go in depth of that, but there will be people saved in the tribulation. But understand this, that God is at work, and there are many things that are yet coming down the line that are going to be showing every person that God is who He says He is. He is the great I Am. And we're going to, you know, people will understand that at some point. And we know, of course, again, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God that Jesus Christ is Lord. So these things are all there. We're facing exciting times. And while we have gone through this thing with the COVID here at Fruitland, I think this is a part of the exciting time we're living in. God's hands at work, folks. And, you know, it's interesting. People say, well, and my message last week, well, why us? And I think the message last week that's on the website, why not us? And I know this is not a time to, it's a time to see what God's going to do in a mighty way. And I believe He will. He's drawing people to Himself, and others that are repelled by Him will be further repelled. But He is working His program. While it is the goal to fully explore Scripture, it is also good to refocus often on key aspects of the previously mentioned doctrines that are essential truths for humans. This morning, we will explore the basis of our salvation, which is our recognition and placement of trust in the Savior, who is Jesus, whose name even means Jehovah saved. Very good. That is defined in the Scriptures as faith. So, shall we proceed? Thank you. I appreciate your permission. Now, I'm having a little trouble here. I may have to turn around so I can see everyone without cranking my head around, because I like to look you in the eye once in a while, and you should look me in the eye. You know, my mom always used to say, and the Bible confirms this too, you can tell what they're up to by their eyes. So, Charlotte Brown had that right. So, a few basic points today, again, that revolve around the basis of our salvation. Well, we wouldn't need to be saved if we didn't have what? A problem, right? With any solution, there has to be what? A problem. Yeah, you can open up about this today. Is mankind troubled? Do we have problems? Let me tell you something, folks. COVID's not our biggest problem. Lack of money's not our biggest problem. You name anything that you can put into that space, it's not our biggest problem. What our biggest problem is that because of our great, I can't go on ad infinitum, but our great grandpappy and grandmother, Adam and Eve, and actually it was Adam who was responsible for the whole thing, they disobeyed God in the very beginning. And let me tell you something, folks, we're genetically tied to Adam. We're struggling today, and we always will. I'm amazed, you know, at the effects of sin and what all it involves. And if you really were to think this week as you go along, and yet today even, think of all the things and the ways that the sin curse has affected your life. Not to mention COVID and these type of things, but just consider that. I had someone tell me this morning their battery was dead in their car. Well, the problem is they've been hanging around me too much. I've had two go bad in this week. By the way, we discussed that thoroughly too. One of the biggest things that takes a battery out of a vehicle is heat. It's not cold, hot weather. And I could go into a whole lesson about that, but the plates and everything break down, and rough roads are hard on batteries. We don't have time to talk about batteries, but let me just tell you, we are dealing on a daily basis with the sin curse. Even belts break on lawn tractors, right, Dean? Yeah, all this stuff. It's a constant battle. Anyway, so there's your first point today. By the way, you have a handout. Did everyone get that in your bulletin? If I don't go along the same way as a handout, stop me and yell at me. Kim does that often. She stops me and says, John, I need to yell at you. Remember what I've told you about Kim. Pastor John, she's always bringing that up to me. Well, that's the first point, the problem of our sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12, and I could give you verses ad infinitum out of the Bible this morning, but we won't do that. We're just going to take a smattering, a sampling of what the Bible says. But trust me, well, you don't have to trust me. You need to trust the Word of God. You explore it. It tells us we've got a problem, and that is sin. Romans 5:12, just a chapter over, says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," that's Adam, by the way, "and death by sin," this is not only eternal death, but physical death, "and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And folks, that is a problem, because the fact of the matter is God's a holy God, and when Adam and Eve transgressed against him, there was a price to pay, not only in physical death, but God warned them there will be a price to pay with eternal death, because God cannot look on sin. And let me tell you something, folks, without getting way bogged down in this morning, the problem that we as humans have is big, and it is massive, and it took a bigger God to solve these problems. So we're going to factor through this morning, but that's your first point. Well, as I mentioned, the problem needed a solution, and it needed a solution that only one being could help with, and that's Almighty God. There is no other remedy for sin. The Creator, who created the universe, had to provide a way. There's a biblical term, it's called propitiation. The Bible uses that in places, but propitiation. I'm having a hard time talking this morning. I may have to drink some water. The word propitiation simply means there had to be a wrath-removing sacrifice for our sin. And let me tell you something, folks. God was the only one that could die for our sin, and He died in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, the God-man. We'll see that as we go on. So God offers salvation. I would think today there'd be some people ready to jump out of their seats and say, "Praise God." I'm ready to. Praise God. Amen. Because let's face it, folks, we are cooked apart from Jesus Christ, literally. We'll be good and tenderized through all eternity if we don't take the offer that Christ made for us. And yes, people don't like to use this word other than in vulgarities, but there is a real place that the Bible talks about called hell. And it talks about it in its fullness as the lake of fire, where the worm dieth not, the pain never ceases, the screams, the burning, the smoke, it's torture, folks. And get your head wrapped around this, which we can't fully wrap around it, but it's for all eternity. You see, because there is recompense for sin, the Bible says. There is a punishment for sin. But be assured of this, God does not want people to go there. That's why He sent Jesus to take the penalty in our place. Jesus bore hell on the cross for us, folks. The fullness of our sin He paid for while God the Father, and He had to turn His back on Jesus. Why? Because He can't look on sin. And as I've mentioned many times, that is the biggest event that's ever taken place in history. It's even bigger than creation. When the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were divided, where Jesus became sin for us that knew no sin. And God the Father could not even look upon Him. That's why there were earthquakes. That's why it was dark at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when Jesus was on that cross, when He died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. High noon, actually, is what the Bible says. And you could think about this, but between high noon and 3 o'clock is the most full sun that we have, and there was darkness on the face of the earth. Well, you've heard that before, but here's the thing, folks. John 3:16, and you can turn there. I'm sure many people know it. If they don't know any other scripture, they may know John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten," or unique, "Son," the God-man. Jesus had to be fully God, but also fully man to be able to pay for our sins. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So that's God's love for humanity that's found in that verse. And God not only loves humanity, but He gave the gift of humanity, the gift to humanity of His Son, Jesus, who I just mentioned, is the God-man. He was the only one that could fully pay for our sins, being human as the prototype of the human race, but also fully God, both fully God and fully man. He was the only way, and that's why the Bible says Jesus is the only way to be delivered, to get to heaven. There is no substitute that could have paid and fulfilled the criteria that God had to bring us back to himself. Hallelujah. I tell you what, Jesus needs to be lifted high every day, every moment of every day. He's the one, folks. He's the one with a capital O, O-N-E. So God also gave the gift of Jesus, it says in John 3:16. And again, there's more verses, but I'm keeping this simple this morning. But God gave that gift to humanity. And notice also that he gave this gift to who? Because it says in that verse that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God gave this gift to all who will believe and accept it. But let me just say this morning, folks. God doesn't force anyone to do anything. He didn't force Adam and Eve to do anything. He gave all of us free will. Even the angels had free will. God doesn't want us to mechanically love and honor and respect him. We need to love him because of who he is, you see, because of that personal thing that he's done for us and with us. But he doesn't force himself, but everyone can be saved. And again, those that will believe and accept, and that's the basis of our message today about faith, will escape eternal death. And according to John 3:16 and many other places in Scripture, we will not only escape eternal death, but we'll be given eternal life. You know, we live in a finite mind here on this planet. And I had someone ask me this week about, maybe it's someone here, I can't remember, but about heaven, what it'll be like. And I just said it's going to be a lot different than what we've got down here. Now, we all think about the different things, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. But let me tell you, folks, that's all true. But there's going to be a lot more than that, because we're going to be taken out of this sin-cursed mindset. We'll have an infinite mind in heaven. Folks, it's going to be all new. I could go into all that out of Revelation 21 and 22, neos and kainos, but you don't want to hear that this morning. You can study it yourself, but just take for granted God's got wonderful things planned for us. Yeah, and it's going to be great. Well, there's the first 2 points, the problem of our sin, the offer of salvation. And now the third point of our message this morning, the intervention of God's grace. The intervention of God's grace. Have I missed anything on those sheets yet? No. Usually someone will come up afterwards and say, you didn't cover such and such a thing. Well, don't come up afterwards. Tell me now. Now, I am going to drink a little of this water. By the way, even water reminds us of Jesus, doesn't it? It reminds us of his word. Jesus was the living water. The word is the thing that washes us. And I appreciate that. Water is a very good drink. So the third point, the intervention of God's grace. A little thing to remind, you probably heard this before, probably even heard it from me, to remember about grace and to help define it. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. I think you've got that there on your handout. God's riches at Christ's expense, and that's what he did for us. The technical term again for it is God's undeserved attention and favor toward man. And so today, we want to look at just three passages that illustrate this well, but we're in the book of Romans. Hopefully you're in Romans chapter 5, and I want to go just a few verses further as the first illustration for this that Paul gives in Romans 5:15 to illustrate grace, and we'll explore this further. But anyway, these help explain this. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And this further supports just what we find in that little acronym I gave you there of God's riches at Christ's expense. The gravity of sin was great, but the grace of God was what? It was greater. God's unmerited, undeserved favor that was directed toward mankind overcomes all the penalties and eventually the power and the presence of sin. And that's for those that believe Him and believe by faith in His grace. And then Ephesians 1:7, and then we'll take another turn in Ephesians as well after we look at 1:7. And there, again, are many more verses, but God's grace. How can we say enough about it? It's His amazing grace, right? We can't understand it, can we? You know, if we were in God's place and we saw what happened to mankind, what happened during the Garden of Eden, what likely would we have done? Anyone want to comment? Well, I'll tell you what I would have done. I said, I'm done with these people. They get what they deserve. You know, let them toast. But that's not how God worked. By the way, when did He first show His grace in the Garden of Eden? That's right. And what did He do? You know, the first recognized thing after Adam and Eve received a conscience was they knew they were naked and God supplied their needs. He covered them. And that is symbolic, again, of the covering of His blood. And there was blood that was shed. I really believe this, that these were two wool skin coats, lamb's coats. I think very likely what God took in the garden were two lambs or a lamb to cover mankind's first disobedient act towards Him. Anyway, that's real grace, folks. God didn't play games, did He? He made His grace apparent. By the way, how do we know that Adam and Eve will be in heaven? Because the Bible records that they accepted those coats, didn't they? Yeah. And you know how they accepted them? By faith. They believed God. By the way, some of us are no different than Adam and Eve. All of us are no different. We ought to get that right today. God's given us those coats of His grace today to put on over our sin. We don't take it seriously enough, folks. Many people even reject it. They say it's not real. Well, let me tell you, folks, it is. God's grace is there for us, and it's there today and now for us, and will be for us. Ephesians 1:7. Paul here is writing again about our standing for the believer or the delivered person, the saved person in Christ. And here's he gives us these lofty words here in verse 7. The whole thing is just a wonderful message about our salvation and how it's given to us. I'd love to preach a message. Maybe I will. Is anyone going to stop me? But not this morning, okay? We'll keep on track. Here it is. In whom we have redemption. Redemption means to be bought back through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And then flip over into Ephesians. What verses am I going to go to here? 2:8-9. And this will bring us right into our topic of faith this morning. And here's what Paul records there. He says, "For by grace are you saved." Now we're going to stop right there for a minute. But again, this is all by God's doing, His love toward us, His benevolence toward us, and He has given us His grace abundantly. So by grace, so the intervention of God's grace, that's point three. We can't extol that enough. That brings us to point four, the endowment of faith to believe. Now, I just want to say this, and I was going to say it later, but I'm going to say it sooner. There's a lot of misconception as we work through Ephesians 2:8-9. I want to tell us something today, folks. You didn't decide to get saved one day. God called you to salvation. Because faith is not something that's produced in your heart about the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's something that He gives as a gift. That's what Ephesians 2:8-9 says. There's a lot of that teaching that goes on that people accidentally get saved. No, there's no accident. And no, it's not a decision that you have made. It's a decision that God will have brought you to. When you examine your salvation, you'll come to know that. It was by no accident that someone has been saved on the date that they were. It will be by no accident that someone is saved here today, or if there's a need for someone to be saved here this morning. It will not be by accident. If that takes place, it will be by God's divine calling through His grace. It's a gift. It isn't anything we've done on our own. It's all His doing for us. We want to remember that. So, the endowment of faith to believe. So let's go through Ephesians 2, 8, 9 the rest of the way. We saw the opening act about this verse where Paul says it's by grace. And then he goes on and he says, by grace are you saved, or are ye saved or delivered through faith. Now it's important to understand this, again, how important grace is, because I think I have this on your note sheet. Grace is the basis for everything. So I've got that written there. Grace is the basis of all things. But the idea of through faith, and that is a prepositional phrase, it's a transitory phrase, but faith is the means or the vehicle to salvation. So the basis of our salvation is found in God's grace, but the vehicle to it is found through, or the transitory process to it, or the means of it, is found through what? Through faith. Now, what's the biggest misconception about salvation? Right, Lonnie. This is always, and many of the so-called churches even today, which you better be careful. You better be involved in a Bible-teaching, believing church. And you sit right here and check what I'm saying to you today in any place you go. And by the way, don't come just to criticize me, but come to help me. Because I'm what? Autumn, I'm a bag of bones. Yeah, I'm faulty, I'm defective. And I make mistakes. And it's not my intent or desire to. But you know what? I could be wrong about something. But I always want to hear what you have to say from God's Word. But that's what you need to test us through as well. So that's what Paul says. You're saved through faith. So grace is the basis, but faith is the means or the vehicle to salvation. Okay, so that's very, we are not saved by our works. We're saved by God's grace through faith. Now I'm going to explain what faith is as we go along here. The Bible explains that very well, and it's important for us to know it. And so he says, you are saved through faith, and get this, folks, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is freely given, yet at great cost to God. Christ had to die for our sins. That's as big of an expense as could be paid, where God had to die for us in the form of His Son. That's how serious our sin is. But God did that. It is a gift of God. If something is a gift, you cannot work for it, can you? If someone asks you or hires you to do a certain job and they give you something at Christmas, but they did not pay you for the work that you did, is that truly a gift at Christmas, or did you earn it? Well, that's something that you could debate about, because they might say, well, here's a nice gift for you. But what if you say under your breath, well, it's all right, but what? I worked hard for that. I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but I will. I think all the parties are gone far enough, but many years ago, and I'll be careful yet, I had some relatives, and they were out of the country for years, and I mowed an extensive lawn. And every other year, I got a check for $20. And I said to my dad, should I even cash this check? And he said, take it! I had a hard time receiving that as a gift, because I knew even back in the old days it cost $10 worth of gas to mow that substantial piece of property every year. Mm-hmm. Now, it was my dad's lawnmower, a Ryder at the time. We mowed a lot of grass back in the day too. But there was a cost to this. But folks, Jesus paid the cost. And He gave it as a gift. Which means what? It can't be worked for. Because Jesus sufficiently, more than sufficiently, paid. It is a gift, isn't it? But Paul confirms that in verse 9. He says, it's not of works.
Because what would we do if we did something for it? I'm even telling you right here. What am I telling you about this $20 gift that was offered me? I worked for it. See? It's not a gift. But if we have this idea, we'll brag about that, see? Just like I did there. What I'm really saying is I was underpaid, right? That this was not a gift. But with the Lord Jesus, we can't say that, can we? It is a gift, and it is something that we could not have done for ourselves. We're not saved by works. The Bible's very clear about that. It was delivered to us as a gift. We're not saved on our own doing or by accident. Page 2. Now the last point has two parts. The mechanics of faith. The mechanics of faith. You got to know how things work, right? Woody, what would you do if you had something that didn't work? You got to tear it apart and find out what's wrong, right? You got to find out the mechanics of how it works. You can show me a device or something maybe on a machine, and I'll say, well, I'm glad it works when it works, but I don't understand how it works. But let me tell you something, folks. You will understand how something works if you tear it apart. Right? And you'll have a much better idea of how it functions. So that's what we're going to do with our faith this morning, with faith, the subject of faith, the mechanics of faith. 2 points. Point A. First of all, faith's definition. Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. By the way, what's important about the book of Hebrews chapter 11? It's the great hall of faith. It gives us examples. Okay, of people that have gone on before us of great faith. I don't know if God continues on with that hall of faith, but I would like to be in it. How about you? Now, I'm going to read this verse 1, and then I'm going to give you my modified definition, which I have a sheet, but I'm not going to turn to it, which I think I gave to you to help us tear into the mechanics of faith, all right? But Paul writes, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And of course he goes on in verse 2, for by it those that preceded us, the elders, obtained a good report. Faith is the critical thing, folks, if you haven't picked that up already. Now I could go into the Greek and all that today, and we'll do that some Sunday night when you're rested in the afternoon and won't fall asleep. But I'm going to give you my definition on this, interceding here between the brackets and so forth. Now, faith is the substance, and what I've included in it, in my parentheses here, it's the point where this all clicks, and we realize that we can trust Jesus as the only one who can fix us. It's the point when everything clicks together, and we begin to understand, yeah, you know, I'm not right. I am a sinner. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible challenges us with that. You heard it in Romans 3:20. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. If you're here this morning apart from Christ, I pray that's not the case, but you have to take it. It's in your face. It says you're not right. And you better think about that. And you've heard also verses like Romans 6:23 that say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And you're stopping to think here, there's a recompense for sin. There's a payback. And it's eternal death in hell. And you start thinking about this stuff. See, that's the problem, folks. Satan wants us all to be diverted. We're worried about all kinds of other things other than these very things that we ought to be thinking about. Right? The world that's going by out there nominally today is not thinking about their sin and salvation, or the destiny that comes from their sin. They're thinking about other things. Now, I struggle with those things too. We all do. But I was born again when I was 7 years old. I realized these things, you see, and I realized there was a Savior. But there it is. Let's go on here. So the point where this all clicks and we realize that we can trust Jesus as the only one who can fix us. of things hoped for. And that's the promise of salvation from the penalty of our sin, promised or hoped for, Jesus being the only one who can do it. We realize our situation, we realize He's the only one. The evidence, then, or believing conviction of things not seen. We cannot see heaven today, can we? Nominally. And we cannot see the deliverance necessarily in a physical way, even though when we're born again and receive the Holy Spirit, we're a new creature, right? Isn't that 2 Corinthians 5:17? When we're born again, we become a new creature in Christ. We're changed. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But this believing conviction that we have of things that we cannot see, yet we accept and we believe. We accept today in the flesh, but we know it's coming. I've talked about that this morning, about what's coming down the line. Well, that takes us back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten or unique Son, the God-man, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Now, folks have written all kinds of things into how you're saved. Praying a prayer. Okay, well, you can pray a prayer. You've got to repent. Well, I'll tell you what I think about that, folks, and you can argue with me about it, but I think in that process that I just illustrated for you, we do repent. Because what is repentance? Repentance means we understand that the moment we believe, what? We're sinners. And we're not right. We need You, Lord. See, people have built a whole thing about salvation. All kinds of works. Salvation is simple. It's complex, but it's simple. Because what we're hearing this morning from God's Word is that simple fact. When we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we're saved. We're born again. We become a new creature in Christ. John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life when we place our faith in Him. So is repentance a part of salvation? Yes. But it doesn't mean to be saved that you have to lay out every sin before Jesus. He knows it already. You know what Jesus... By the way, what's going on in heaven when someone acknowledges Jesus as Savior? The Bible says there's rejoicing. Jesus is not nitpicking with us. He's saying, I'm so happy. He knew it was going to happen, but He likes it when it happens. Also, let's go to Acts 16:30-31. Acts 16:30-31. Tell me the story. What's the context there? Paul and Silas. Philippian jailer. That's a miraculous story. I love to preach on that. You know, if I could just preach one sermon all the time and refine it, I'd love that. Because this is one of my favorite ones to preach. Once in a while when I'm called out of here to preach somewhere, this is one of my favorites to... I delivered this at a couple of churches during the times I went. But you all remember what happened there. We don't need to recount that, but we know what? That the Philippian jailer, God got a hold of him that day, right? And again, what really impressed him that day? It was God's what? Grace. Right? If you'd have been in that jail, Judy, what would you have done that day? Huh? Cried? I thought you maybe would have run. Took off. Well, that's probably what I would have done, is took off when the walls went down, you know, right? Acts 16. I got to get another page turned here. But you remember in verse 30 what the jailer said to Paul and Silas. He brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved, to be delivered? Paul and Silas said, well, you need to go to catechism. You need to be baptized. You need to give some money in the plate. What did he say? It's that simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's the mechanics of faith. Part A, this is faith's definition we just covered. Now the second part of the mechanics of faith, because we got to close here. Faith's action yields God's justification of rightness. Now, we're going to find here in our text, back to Romans chapter 4. And you know what? We might just make this another message. But we'll get started at least on this. Romans chapter 4. But there's a couple of terms here that we need to look at here that come from this section. And who's the father of... I know Adam and Eve had faith, but who's the one that God really worked through here that's listed in the Hall of Faith? Abraham. And by the way, was Abraham's situation complicated? Well, it was complicated, but his salvation wasn't, was it? Because what we're going to find that the Apostle Paul tells us is that, you know, and the Word of God tells us, he simply did was what? He believed God and did what he said. And it was counted to him for righteousness. So faith's action yields God's justification of rightness. So the first thing here is that it's applied to our account. And it also brings an ending of the eternal judgment by God of our sin, upon our sin, which brings peace and hope. That's what we're going to find in Romans chapter 4 through chapter 5 verse 2. So, you may wonder, justification, before we close here. Justifieth means being declared righteous by God's covering of our tainted blood by Jesus' untainted blood. This is a lengthy definition. Bringing our overdrawn account to positive status. And I'll repeat this a couple of times. Our standing is made right with God through Jesus' imputed righteousness to our unrighteousness. That's a long definition, isn't it? I tried to whittle it down, but I couldn't. So here it is again. Justifieth, or justification, which we find in chapter 4, verse 5 in particular, and I'll read that here next, means being declared righteous by God's covering our tainted blood by Jesus' untainted blood, bringing our overdrawn account to positive status. Our standing is made right with God through Jesus' imputed righteousness to our unrighteousness. It's an accounting term, folks. If your account's overdrawn at the bank, somehow you've got to infuse something to bring it up over negative numbers, right? And folks, our account before the Lord, because of our sin, was overdrawn. It was negative. The only thing that could make it balance, that's the key there, balance, was the imputed righteousness of Christ through his blood that covers our sins. So that's what that word justification or justifieth means. And also, I think you have a blank there, imputed, while we're there. Imputed just means imputed resources to bring our deficit account to balance with God. So inputted is another word that I don't know if it's a real word, but inputted resources to bring our deficit account to balance with God. So we have about 2 minutes left, and then we're going to come back and polish this off next week. Is that okay, Lord willing? But here it is. Paul writes, what shall we say then? This is Romans 4:1. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. You see, read earlier what Paul's writing about in Romans. He's talking about God's grace and faith in salvation, the mechanics of faith. Well, why was Abraham an important point to the Jews? He was the father of their nation, okay? Now, just like us, there's a lot of preconceived notions. Many of the Jews never did get this whole thing about the mechanics of faith. They said, well, hey, all of our nation flowed out of his loins, so he's our father. Yeah, I'm cool with that. And Paul's telling them, all the way along, you're missing the whole point here, guys and gals. He's not talking about our blood kinship here. He's talking about a kinship of faith. Now, our kinship is based on the blood of Christ. But our real kinship here, folks, in the mechanical sense of it, is based on faith in Jesus Christ. That's the commonality that we all have under his blood. Amen? So he says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? He's saying, folks, Jews, you look to your father Abraham as the source of answers and as the source of leadership in your ethnicity. But he's saying you're missing the point of what he found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Abraham would only have to glory in who? Himself. But folks, when, as Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tell us, when we're saved by God's grace through faith, we have every reason to boast about Jesus and no reason to boast about ourselves. And that's the door that Paul is opening up here to talk to the Hebrew people about. And maybe he's talking to someone here today about, or someone that's hearing us on the internet, that I've been mistaken thinking this is about me, because it's about him. Now, we're out of time today, but we're going to come back and explore next week the balance of this chapter about the mechanics of faith in the life of Abraham. So let me just say this in conclusion today, and I'll use this same one next week. And I may be a little ahead of myself here in the teaching, but I don't think so. I think you've got these points, but we'll see them refined in the life of Abraham. But if you are truly born again today here, if you are saved and you've been delivered, two things. Number one, you have acknowledged your sin and deserve punishment in hell. You've said to yourself, that's me. And secondly, you have believed on the Savior, Christ coming as the God-man who took our punishment in our place on Calvary's cross and rose to new life the third day. That is confirmed when you called on his name to save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've received then the peace with God. Romans 5:1 will tell us this when we get to it next week. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm asking us today, do you have that peace today? That Christ has covered your sin with his precious blood, and you've accepted that and believed on that and put your faith in that for your eternal soul? Folks, you're born again if you've done that. And you have the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life as well. There is a living part of the Godhead in your life today. Don't quench him, folks. Let him have free reign. Life's exciting when the Lord's in control. He's asking you today. He says, whosoever will. If you're here today, if you have not seen those two things take place in your life, you are not saved. It is that clear. Your destiny, by your own decision, is, as of this point, the lake of fire. But Jesus doesn't want that for you today, because his grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. If you cannot identify with this in your life today, today is the day. And let me just say this, folks, time is wasting. COVID's one thing, and there's people that have lost their lives. But folks, there's all kinds of things out there that could cause this to be the last day you draw breath. Jesus is waiting yet today. He says, come to me. Place your faith and trust in me. I'll deliver you. I'll save you. That's the point we want to get out of this today. We'll look more into the mechanics next week about this guy named Abraham, who was just a lot like us, right? But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen. Let's take our hymnals or on the screen. It's not going to pull up. Okay. It must have sat. Long-winded preaching. Page 523. Let's leave here on a happy note today, even among challenges. God is able to deliver us, folks. He can deliver us from COVID, but He can deliver us from a whole lot more, too, can't He? He is able. So let's sing that together. Again today, if God's speaking to your heart, go to Him today. He's ready to listen. It doesn't have to be something that's big and fancy. It has to just be the truths of your heart where He's calling you. 523, but go to Him this day. Is the grandest theme through the ages rung, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to Him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Don't forget that today and in the days to come. He is the one who will deliver us today. Lonnie, would you close in prayer? I'm not going to shake hands or interact with any of you at the door today, but I just pray that God will give you a great afternoon and a good week in Him. And until we're gathered again today, again in the days to come, thank You for Your presence here today. Lonnie?
Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for our message today. Lord, by grace are we saved through faith. Lord, grace is Your love for us, and faith is through Your Son. Thank You for that message this morning, Lord. Hear it again, Lord. Be with us all, Lord. Thank You for getting us here today. Make us stronger, Lord. Help us to get through all this. And be with us all as we leave today. Thanks, all safe. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.